Remember when Becca was pushing him, like, how do you handle it when things are hard? How do you handle it when you're, you know, when you face challenges or adversity?
We don't actually know the answer to that.
And he was just kind of like, oh, you know, I never really get upset.
Right. And then his family is like, he was in the darkest place you could ever imagine. Garrett's like, I've only gotten sad once in my entire life.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. It's hometown week, finally. And the biggest topics of the episode, of course, were Colton's virginity and his history with Tia.
We've made so much progress since the first half of the season.
Yeah. I mean, we really needed the, like, warmed over drama of this episode because most of it was so dull. I had nothing to tweet about.
Weirdly, I had no jokes to make, but I have a lot of feelings. So we're going to really dive into those. And we're joined by EWTV critic Kristen Baldwin. Thanks
Hello,
for
ladies.
Coming in. It's been too long.
Thanks so much for having me. Always a pleasure to be here.
Yes, we're so glad you're here. I have many pages of notes for this episode, and yet my vague impression of it is stuff happened.
Stuff happened.
Some
then,
stuff. Some parents.
Tia.
We know they did a little rejuggling of the hometown date order, but the first one we get to experience is Garrett.
Do you know what the order was that they filmed? Did you read this?
I think that it was Colton first. Because I think that the Colorado dates were together in the middles.
So
or no, not Colton. Jason was first.
Jason was first. Oh, that would make sense.
Okay.
So they
and
would go
the two
Buffalo
Colorado dates
to
were
Colorado and then last to California and then to LA.
Right.
That makes sense. Because
I had a very strange sense that Garrett was not in California.
Same.
Like, I totally the whole time watched it and was like, oh, they're in, like, Minnesota or Wisconsin.
I was thinking, I kept getting Chris Sewell's vibes that whole time because they're on the tractor.
Yes.
Right. And it felt very much like
but
that.
It was
that
in
date. It was in
Manteca,
California. Which is a place.
Yeah, it's a place.
California has a lot of places in it.
So many places.
Very big.
Yes.
So we start in Manteca. And this date, I felt tongue-tied about because you guys know how we feel about Garrett. It's hard to, like, get excited about him as a romantic prospect. A lot of what happened on the date made me feel very uncomfortable, but then I was like, am I reading too much into things because of what I know? So they start out sort of taking a tour of the farm with little set-up farming tasks, which heads up, Becca, that's not how it's going to be if you're actually helping out on a farm.
Right.
What?
And so they get on, like, a tractor. They're going to plant tomatoes.
Carlos is driving.
Yeah. So it's all like, we're going to, like, work on a farm. We're going to do farm work. All right, Carlos, you can go. I was like, wait, this whole time it's like a Latino man doing all
the
work.
I know. And it was
work.
Kind of like,
you're like,
there's
given
so many...
his stance on immigration, it's just...
It opens a lot of doors that you don't want to go through.
Exactly.
And it's like a very jarring reminder that, like, Garrett comes from this farming background. A lot of American farms are really big farms that depend on the work of often undocumented immigrants.
I mean, I believe he called it an agricultural business, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not even a farm. It's, you know, it's
a whole
thing. Situation.
Yeah. An agricultural situation. Yeah. She seems very excited, though. I mean, it's very apparent that they
like each other
very into each other. That was my main takeaway. And also, it's like, I don't know whether they leaned into this as a wink to the audience, but there was so much conversation about how Garrett is just a salt of the earth guy and their values are all really gonna align. And it was just, I couldn't see anything else. I just wanted to enjoy it. And it was just hard.
You know, I too have the same sort of concerns and problems dealing with Garrett knowing what we know, but I continually get heat on the recaps from people saying, like, you know, you can't equate him. You know, I referred to him and Lincoln, for example, as controversial contestants and got torn a new one by commenters for that. Like, you can't equate what he did with what Lincoln did. And of course, you know, Lincoln sexually assaulted someone, and Garrett, you know, liked some offensive posts. But I feel like we're allowed – some people are seem very quick to say, he apologized for it, let's move on. And clearly some of us don't – it's harder to do that because, you know, they did keep talking about family values. And then at the end when his dad made fun of him for saying, I love you, Granny, it was like –
wow, I missed that.
Yeah. Right. He said, I love you, Granny. He's hugging her. And then the dad goes, I love you, Granny. I love you, Granny. Ugh. And it was like, if this is the kind of toxic masculinity that he grew up around, you know, of course.
Yeah. And that's also relevant to what life he would build with this person. Yes. And also, we're watching a show about dating and about marriage and about building a life with someone.
And a family.
And everyone is projecting their own feelings onto these relationships. Like, how are we supposed to consume the show if it's not through the lens of, like, would I be okay with dating this person? Do I see this person with this other lead that we have now grown to be attached to? Like, those are valid questions. And I also think we're allowed to feel critical and not just let our feelings go when, from our understanding, someone has incredibly dangerous, damaging opinions that really impact the world around them.
Yes. Or, you know, if we are to take Garrett at his word in terms of his apology, you know, he sort of was carelessly he found offensive stuff funny. We've all found offensive stuff funny.
Sure.
All of us. And he realizes now that, you know, the way he puts it is he feels like, yeah, he was sort of careless and wasn't thinking through how hurtful the stuff that he was liking was. And, you know, fine. It's just we're allowed to have the red flag up for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just one.
Just a little bit of a red flag.
We're allowed to have our feelings about it. And I'm uncomfortable with people saying that it's equating Lincoln and Garrett to say they're both controversial. It's a term that applies to both of them.
Yeah, it's a range.
In different ways.
Right. I mean, it's similar to the way that you hear a lot of, you know, oh, the Me Too movement is collapsing the distinctions between Al Franken and Harvey Weinstein. It's in the context of people actually participating in the movement, it's not collapsing those distinctions. People are having really, like, precise conversations about it. And we're not talking about Garrett like he, like, assaulted someone.
No,
but we can say that one label applies to both of them. Controversial. They're both controversial.
And Becca is a good Christian girl, and she seems like somebody who has, you know, what you typically understand as family values. And so, of course, we're concerned for her that this guy may have problematic views or ingrained ideas that aren't going to jibe with hers.
And certainly those are things that, you know, people can learn.
Yes.
Ignorance can be undone.
One would hope.
One would hope. it can be if one actually puts effort in it. And that, you know, I understand he's been bound by the terms of this show. And I hope once the show ends, we'll see more evidence of growth. But you have a big platform. One apology is... Yeah. Does not make it okay.
Yeah.
And it's hard because, you know, we don't know how many conversations they're really having about this. But when they talk about family values, it's very like, well, my ex-wife didn't have the same values. And Becca says, well, do you think you and I do? And he's like, yes. What are they? Like, talk about that and give us some evidence. Like, as far as we can tell, the only family value that his ex-wife didn't have that Becca has is that she has expressed willingness to be around his family, which is she hasn't even met them yet. It's pretty baseline family value.
Sure.
I am not by the mere concept of it opposed to being around your family is not enough.
Exactly.
To me.
I do also, even without the Instagram stuff, a red flag would be raised for me the way Garrett talks about his ex-wife. It's always, she was yelling all the time. She, you know, took me away from my family. She, you know, I had to change who I was to be with her. It was her fault, her fault, her fault. And it's like, dude, I'm sure a lot of that is true, but it's important for you to recognize and acknowledge your role in the collapse of that marriage. And maybe he's saying the fact that he changed who he was to be with her, but that's sort of like, my biggest fault is I'm a perfectionist, you know, like that's not something that I wish I could hear more from him about his role in that. And also it kind of ties into the fact that remember when Becca was pushing him, like, how do you handle it when things are hard? How do you handle it when when you face challenges or adversity?
We don't actually know the answer to that.
And he was just kind of like, oh, I never really get upset.
Right. And then his family is like, he was in the darkest place you could ever imagine. Garrett's like, I've only gotten sad once in my entire life.
So I feel like even without the Instagram stuff,
There are a lot of questions. And I want to be really clear, because some people seemed, concerned that we weren't clear enough about this last week. Like, if that relationship was emotionally abusive, and of course a woman can emotionally abuse a man or physically abuse a man, like, we do not think that's okay. We think that is – we are not trying to victim shame in any capacity. But unfortunately, often in situations like this, it's hard to quite get a read on the reality of what occurred between two people, whether it was, an abusive relationship or not. It's hard
and
to
it's
know.
Hard because
we don't really have a great understanding of
is
him.
Fine. It's Googleable, but she is not the one with a national platform to tell her story. So we try to be careful not to just completely take the contestant at face value in these circumstances. People are like pulling up their wedding pictures and stuff, and she's not really a public figure, and
and if she wants to talk about it, she will.
I can understand various reasons why she might not want to. The way that he talks about the relationship, if I was Becca, I would, in the position that Becca was and that we were in, of not really knowing his family yet and not knowing his ex, is that apparently when his family would visit, she would not want to spend time with them. And to me, that can really go two ways. Like, his family is toxic, or she is.
Or, like, sometimes you just don't want to hang around your in-laws.
Right.
Although he, he sort of pointed out they only came once a year, and she wouldn't let them stay with them.
Yeah. I mean, yes. there are boundaries. Like, I love my in-laws. And I have spent a lot of time with them, but my husband is very supportive of, like, if I need to go take a nap because it's been a little too much I'm much more, like, introverted, not as much of a, like, big, like, togetherness person. He's very supportive of that and isn't like, you hate my family.
Right.
So my instinct at hearing that was like, oh, my God, his poor ex. But we really don't know exactly how that played out. So you don't want to also be the wife who's like, I thought we were going to go for a hike this weekend like we do every weekend. And like, why is your family getting in the way of that?
And I will say it was moving and affecting to see the way his sister spoke about how heartbreaking it was for her to see her younger brother go through such emotional trauma, kind of lose himself. Like, that was the part of his date that I found to be compelling and felt really real emotionally.
And his mom was very
His mom was really sweet, too.
I worried about him a little bit. That they basically said, we didn't interfere last time, but since that went badly, now we're going to. And I was like, well, he's basically a 30-year-old man, so you kind of still have to let him figure things out for himself. That's how it works, Just because you have one failed relationship doesn't mean that now your family gets to come in and pick them for you.
Exactly.
Also, that doesn't tend to work.
No. Right. It really
doesn't.
It
tends to go the other way.
Yeah.
Going all the way back, to put it in Bachelor terms, like, going all the way back to Mesnick, one of the big reasons I think he initially chose, Melissa, is because his mom pushed him to choose Melissa over Molly. Yeah. And so, and then he realized he made a mistake. So, don't get in the way, parents. It doesn't always work out.
Yeah. I mean, if they really wanted someone else and they needed your push to pick that person, then how are they going to feel about that person in the long term? So I had a lot of mixed feelings about his time with his family. They seemed to care about him a lot. But I wanted them to back off a little bit. But in the end, they mostly seemed to feel good about Becca. They're just like, please don't break his heart again. He can't take it.
That was kind of the theme for almost all of the dates.
I think that's a very natural, that's like a good place for the parents to land. Be as honest with my kid as you can be.
Yeah.
Be mindful of their emotions. But also, none of the parents were like overly aggro, which we often see, or there was none of that.
Not as much with the guys.
Not as much with the, that's true. Not as much with the, when it's a woman lead.
Yeah.
It tends to be the like, I'm protective of my daughter. Bullshit.
Yeah.
But
We did hear a couple dads be like, I'm a protective dad to my son. And I was like, that's nice.
That is nice.
That's nice that you feel that way.
They were all protective in a way that felt very natural to the way a parent would be protective of their child and want their child to thrive and not be hurt.
And there was no sibling or aunt or anybody who was like clearly just trying to gear it up for the camera time.
Right. His mom says one thing that I thought was odd, which is that Garrett has deep values and it's hard to find. And from what we know about you, Becca, you've come from a similar background
Again,
and have similar values.
What are these values?
I think
what
it's
are
religion.
The values?
I think it's religion.
Probably.
You think,
but
okay.
Is it hard to find a Christian in the United States of America? I don't think it's that hard.
I mean, it's probably hard to find one who, like, actually goes to church every week the way Becca does, you know, in this group of
Maybe since he lives in Reno.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like out there, but it's not his small town.
Yeah. So I do think that's always code for religion, like, and people are a little concerned about, they don't want to be like, well, what if she's Jewish or, you know, whatever. So they tend to just say, you know, values. And that means you're a good Christian girl. And, you know, sometimes they will say it outright. And I give props to Becca for talking about her faith and importance of her faith.
I was going to say, I appreciate when they just have those conversations.
So I don't know why, but that is always my read. The code, the values is code for you go to church, you go to a Christian church, not even Catholic.
Yeah. No, and, Catholics are barely even Christian.
I
if
feel
you
like
ask me.
Have we even had a Catholic like bachelor or bachelorette? I feel like somebody out there listening knows.
I don't
probably
know.
At least one. There are a ton of
Lorenzo Borghese.
There.
Definitely a lot of laps.
Was Lorenzo Borghese? He's Italian. Was he a Catholic?
Probably.
Yeah.
But like Catholic.
Practicing.
Right.
Yeah. Total air quotes.
I feel, sometimes I ask around and like half my friends are lapsed Catholics, but I wouldn't have been able to tell you.
Yeah.
I'm a lapsed Catholic.
My mom was a lapsed Catholic.
Yeah.
So it happens.
My dad is a practicing Catholic. So there's one Catholic.
It's a lot
I know
of Catholicism going on.
Yeah.
So wild.
Yeah. I mean, it always reads like a dog whistle to me, but it's hard to, you can't, that's the thing about a dog whistle. It's like you can't exactly nail down what it's referring to, but it makes me uncomfortable that something is being signaled.
Again, like I just would be interested if we could have a version of this show where you could get into that stuff a little bit more. Because it would be genuinely interesting. Yeah.
She also says something about how she just wants him to be happy and have someone to bring around the family because she knows he's felt, like, uncomfortable, which makes it sound like they're just a very paired-off family and it's weird for him to be in a family setting and
I don't know. I understand. I don't think
I'm
that's
not saying that in like a judgmental
weirdest
way, but like that is really what it sounded like when she said that.
Yeah.
The experience of the last wife was that, you know, she wasn't as she
able
wasn't,
to be a part of the
family. She wasn't as like, and I'm the same way with my in-laws. Like, I don't, you know, I need breaks and whatever. And but we all kind of get it. And but it sounds like this family maybe tolerates fewer breaks. And maybe she needed more breaks.
That
from
is
her
possible.
In-laws.
Or it's something that he's expressed, like, I just really want a partner. I see my siblings in partnerships. Like, I can understand being, you know, as someone who is single in a family, and I'm often with, like, my brother and his girlfriend and my parents. Like, I understand that instinct to want to just have someone to that you can bring to your family and be excited about and that they can get along with. Like, so that's sort of how I read it. But again, nothing is made explicit.
I mean, that's kind of how I read it, too. Okay. So next we see her go to Buffalo with Jason.
Hooray, we're in Buffalo.
I really, really enjoyed this hometown date.
I like him.
I like him, too.
I mean, he's not going to, quote unquote, win.
Even his mom knows.
Oh, bless her. And his mom is gorgeous.
There were some hot
His
moms.
His brother is adorable. Yeah. Like, Darren Criss look alike.
Oh,
so
like, usually when you go to the bachelor, to a hometown, the family all looks like similar to the person who's on the show, but they're the most attractive one.
Yeah.
And with Jason, it's like, he is the lead. Like, and Jason is really cute,
adorable.
I was like, your family is like a hot family.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. His brother was so hot.
Like,
and then I was like, of course he's a beautiful married gay man who works in theater. Like, that makes complete.
Of course.
Yeah. I was like, chatting with Claire, and we were like, wow, hot brother. Yeah, let's look him up. Oh, of course, he's married to a man. Yeah. That is exactly who I would be like, I'm so into you.
Yeah. I mean, and it was really sweet the way that Jason talked about his parents, but also his brother and his brother-in-law, and how he wants to have a relationship like them, which, like, I feel like we keep progressing in terms of, like, you might have once heard a Bachelor contestant say, like, oh, my brother or sister, like, came out and I still really love them, or like, I'm happy for them or whatever. And Jason is just straight up like, I want to be like him. And I think that that shows, like, a new level of comfort.
I was also glad that nothing about having, you know, a gay brother was made into a thing of, like, we need to have a conversation about my gay brother. Like, you could just see them trying to use something like that as, like, and then it was a moment where my brother came out to us and it was a trauma. Like, nothing, it was just normalized in a really beautiful way, exactly the way it should be. Like, I mean, this is my sibling that I love. He's in a relationship that I love
that
and admire.
And aspire to.
And aspire to. And also, look at these hot, more hot dudes in my family.
I mean, so many hot dudes, a beautiful mom. It's a really good-looking family.
Good genes.
I feel like this date put Jason, like, for the first time, I thought, oh, he could be the Bachelor. I'm still rooting for Wills all the way. I don't know how you ladies feel about that. I know it's probably a terrible idea because I have terrible ideas about who should be the Bachelor.
I love Wills.
But I could see Jason.
Potential.
It's always hard for me to see anyone as the Bachelor until they're the Bachelor. I feel like Jason seems too normal to me and Will seems too low key.
Yeah, he's so mumbly. They would need to, like, get him to enunciate a little bit more. But have you seen the Bachelor in Paradise promo where he's got the cornrows and he gives the eye roll?
He's so cute. I mean, he's adorable. Very expressive face.
And he's so funny.
I'm like, Jason Wills can't be the Bachelor, but they're the ones that I would date.
Yes.
Like, if I could pick a
couple. And that's why
guys
you don't want
date.
Them to be the Bachelor.
Right. I'm full on, like, Rachel, do not let anyone else touch them. They can wait until I'm widowed or something.
So Jason takes Becca to the original Buffalo-style chicken wing place.
And I didn't realize there's no ranch in Buffalo.
I did not either. We're learning new things, cultural touchstones.
I enjoy blue cheese.
So. Yeah.
Jason had definitely prepped her for that question.
Yeah she was like, blue cheese all the way.
Yeah.
And I loved how daintily she held her wings.
I mean, they're like, this is a wing eating contest. And
that
she was just
the deal breaker for
nibble,
me
nibble,
is
nibble.
I hate eating wings.
Oh, I love wings.
I
don't
wings.
Like hot, like, I don't like spicy food.
Oh,
and I don't
me too.
Like getting mess. Like stuff all over me.
I was like, I want some buffalo wings now.
Yeah. No,
while
I
watching
love
that.
Buffalo wings, and I love that she had her hair back. Like, she was ready to get in there.
All business.
But then she had her little dainty.
I don't know that I'd want to eat them on camera, but I would like to eat a bunch of buffalo wings.
Yeah.
I mean, if I were eating buffalo wings on camera, it doesn't matter how dainty I looked. I would not look as hot as Becca eating buffalo wings.
Nobody would. And they barely ate. I mean, it looked like they were more, you know, playing and dabbing each other
with
blue cheese, than they were eating. But she did allegedly have a whole bowl full. By the end, you could see all the wings she had eaten. So either the Bachelor interns filled her bowl with some wing carcass.
I mean, if she won the contest, I think they would have made a bigger deal out of it.
No, she got nowhere near. There were some people down there going to town. But
with wings, I feel like you have to have technique because
you've got to
get
all the
bones
meat.
Are all in the way.
You got to have some kind of it's like a Joey Chestnut hot dog eating contest situation where you really have to have a skill.
Yeah. Then they go to a hockey rink and they do a little ice skating.
She reacted to ice skating exactly the way I would, where he's like, do you know how to ice skate? And she's like, I did when I was a child.
Yeah.
Like, that is exactly how I would be.
A friend of mine who is had skated for a long time, she messaged me and she was like, Jason can't even skate. There's no way he played hockey. I didn't even notice if he was a good or bad skater because I wouldn't know one way or another.
I didn't notice either, but
apparently,
I mean, there's
like,
a wide range of skill.
You haven't fallen.
The stuff
That's
he
great.
Was doing with the puck, I was like, he's definitely played.
I mean, hockey to me is completely incomprehensible. So
my husband played hockey, and we actually did the same thing
did
the day after
Zamboni?
We got engaged. Well, not the Zamboni part, but like we took the day off work and went ice skating together.
Aww.
And I was like, I haven't done this since I was a little kid. And he was like, oh, you're so good. Like, you're natural. And it was really like romantic. So
you
I was watching them and being like, oh, that's so sweet. And then he said, you have hockey mom in your blood. And I was like, nope.
No.
This
Jason,
is over.
Jason, you were doing so well.
Doing so well. And then he's like puts her in goal without any like goalkeeping equipment on or even like a special goaltending stick, which is much bigger. And is like, if I score, I get a kiss. This game is rigged, Jason.
Yeah, like, and it's also like, dude, I mean, you're getting a kiss no matter what.
All she wants to do is make out with Jason.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could hit her in the face with a puck and she would still kiss
you. She has said like 10 times now that Jason's the best kisser
and
she's ever experienced.
Jumping ahead just for a second, when she said that to all the her girlfriends, and one of them, I don't know who it was, maybe CN, said, then you better take him to the fantasy suite.
I was like, yeah, that was my reaction too.
Yeah, I can't help but feel like with Colton and Jason, it might have come down to who's going to be more fun off camera. Not in like a, like, that sounded really gross.
And by the way, good for her.
Yeah. You know what? Get it, girl.
Get it, girl. That should be the subtitle of this show, The Bachelorette, colon, Get It, Girl.
Get it, girl.
Instead, it's The Bachelorette, colon, Let's Do the Damn Thing, which, you know, has similar implications.
True.
So they go see his family, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful family.
I loved this family.
I love them so much.
And Jason is just like, I'm falling for her so deeply and seriously. And his family is like, oh, God.
Yeah. His mom was like, oh, honey, I'll be here when you're heartbroken.
His mom is perceptive.
And so loving. She did such a good mom. You know, the way she sort of said, like, I support you no matter what. And, you know, just remember, like, there are other guys here, but I love you, honey.
Yeah.
So sort of laying the groundwork.
She sort of does a great thing where she sort of cross-examines him about, like, his assumptions.
Yes.
And sort of pushes him to think a little bit more about it. But when he's not receptive, she doesn't hammer at it. She's like, okay.
Yeah. You're going to make your decisions.
Yeah.
You're going to go
I love
into
you.
This
you're
the way you're going to go
man,
into it.
And I'll be here when you need to cry.
And Becca is like, Becca talks to his mom about whether she's ready to get engaged so soon after having been engaged. And Becca's like, I didn't know for sure because I didn't want to be that girl.
What girl is that?
The girl who gets engaged on TV, I guess, and then gets dumped and then gets engaged again on TV.
Oh,
that girl.
That girl.
Yeah, that's the classic archetype.
Totally know that girl.
So many of them.
So many of that girls.
Yeah. But Becca is indeed that girl. And then he sits down with his brother and brother-in-law, and they're just completely on board.
I know.
She seems great. Tell her you love her now.
Yeah. And I love, his brother was just like, have you told her how you feel? You better get on that.
I know. I liked that.
That is some good advice.
Also, I think we need Jason's brother on the podcast because I'm pretty sure they live in New York.
Get him over
here.
Also, I want to know more about that guy. I just want to hear from him.
Yeah, I did a little bit of a dive onto Instagram, just a very cursory, and like it was all good.
I think you got to have him in here.
I wonder if they seem like they would have a New York Vows column.
Oh, I bet
or
they
at least
do.
A notice. We're gonna have to look that up.
Yeah.
So as they wind the night down, Jason is ready to make his move, and I didn't catch all of this speech, but, you know, basically more or less when he's with her, he can't stop smiling. When he goes to sleep, he can't stop thinking about her. When he wakes up, he wants to be with her. When he kisses her, he doesn't want to stop kissing her because he's so insanely wildly
insanely
in love
wildly.
With her.
Aww.
And he can say it with more confidence than he's ever been able to say it.
Okay.
This was a lot more than I was expecting from the guy who wasn't ready to say, I'm falling for you, last week.
Yeah. Yeah, he kind of went from zero to stalker. But, you know, I think they do get swept up in – I think there's a lot of sort of they get swept up in the moment, and they know they've learned the patterns of this show. And if you don't say I love you by the end of the hometown date, you're going home. So, you know.
There was a part of me that was – I realized was like a little Bachelor producer being like, how can he say I'm in love with you if he hasn't said I'm falling in love with you yet? And then I was
you
like, Claire,
you skipped a step.
Rachel and Brian, someone DM'd me and was like, watch Rachel and Brian's Instagram story on E! News. And they like had that whole conversation. Rachel was like, you didn't say you were falling in love with him. There are steps here.
Like, yeah, you can't just
she's like, this is wrong.
They're going to have to mix up those steps because I feel like it's getting – we need somebody to throw – like – it was so exciting when Higgins said I love you to two women because it was just – it had never happened. And I feel like we need a middle step for the I'm falling for you where somebody either skips it or, I don't know, something has to happen where with the, because those steps are getting a little too predictable.
Well, it was great when Jean Blanc skipped right to, like, I'm in love with you on, like, the third week.
But then it turned out he was just completely.
He was just making it up,
trying
obviously.
To sell his perfume or whatever.
I also noticed that Becca is not smiling when Jason tells her this, and I was sort of, I felt like in the moment, if you're Jason, you can be like, oh, she's emotional, but we've seen her react to other guys say that, and she seems sort of like it's giving her pause instead of being just unrestrained, really happy about it.
Which is how you know his mother is correct.
Yeah, she says, like, it means the world to me, but she looks really serious.
And that's probably why, as one of you said, that, you know, it was going to be Jason who went home, but then the whole Colton situation happened, so.
Possible.
I just think it's pretty clear that she likes Blake and Garrett best.
Yes,
and
very
so
clear.
The order of the other two was, could have come down either way.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. I think in the end, honestly, just having more bad feelings attached to Colton, it's like you have this person for one more week. Why not take the person that you always feel great around and not the person where you have to think about your friend and, like, worry about, I guess, deflowering him? I don't know.
Which,
by the
way,
I don't want to have to think about it.
No one does.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back to break down all of that Colton and Tia drama.
We go to Bailey, Colorado to see Blake's family.
I'm very into Blake. He's devastatingly cute.
He's adorable. My mom my mom texted me and said, is she going to break Blake's heart?
Yes.
And I was like, I think she is. And she said, oh. I feel so bad for him. I don't want her.
I think he could really be the next Bachelor also.
I mean,
if he doesn't win.
I think she could pick Blake. But he just seems so already kicked when he's down that it's like.
Yeah, he didn't cope with stress well. That was a red flag with him last week or the week before when he started to shame spiral hardcore.
See, that might really be a plus for casting in terms of casting him as a lead.
Well, like, for sure. But as like a life partner you want to be around.
Sure.
Yeah.
He really did go down the hate hole real quick when she like didn't give him the first one-on-one date. But on the other hand, you know, he takes her to his high school and I was like, oh God, that's so lame. Like reliving his glory days.
Yeah.
And then we find out.
I was halfway through a tweet about that.
Yes.
And then I had to be like, delete.
You know, the first phase was, oh, his mom worked there. He grew up there. But, you know.
He was a football guy.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this guy was
but
popular,
then,
wasn't
then
he?
Then we get the real, you know, real sort of sad reason that he's, you know, got such a strong connection to his high school.
So he tells her that when he was a senior and his sister was a freshman, there was a shooting in the school. A man, a stranger, came in to the school and a student was killed. They don't really go into the details of the shooting. It's pretty easy to find if you.
It's the Platte Canyon High School shooting. If you want, it's on Wikipedia. This was like a pretty.
It was a
big news story. It's really harrowing. Young women were held hostage. One female student was killed.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, it seems that the shooter went into a class, had all the boys
leave,
and some of the girls kept seven girls as hostages and sexually assaulted them. And one of them was killed when the SWAT team came in to rescue the last two hostages. It sounded absolutely horrifying. And we saw some people on Twitter saying The Bachelor should maybe have gone more into that. It's hard for me to imagine what good that possibly could have done. It was still a very sobering story.
And it makes complete sense that this is something that really impacted Blake, his right. how he looks at the world, how he views life, probably his mental health.
Yeah. I mean, his parent, his mom and his sister were in the school at the time.
Right. His mom and his sister were there. He was a senior.
He says his mom was the person who gave the code white on the intercom.
And, you know, I don't – more than, you know, clearly people use their sad stories in an exploitative way on reality shows to make themselves sympathetic, that kind of thing. I don't think in this case that was – at all what
no.
was happening. I, you know, there were some people tweeting at me that like, oh, I can't believe he used this for sympathy. And, you know, I really, the way he did it and the fact that he kept the details, you know, and who knows what he told her off camera and all of that. But it was a huge life-altering event
right.
that changed his perspective. And like, it was a life and death situation.
And impacted his family.
Yeah, and his family. It would be weird if he didn't tell her. And, you know, maybe the only thing you could, even if he had said to the producers, I want to tell her this, but I don't want it filmed, like a guy who goes on The Bachelor is not going to say that to the producers. Like he's already okay with sharing his life on the camera.
I also think that we should talk about the impact of school shootings.
Yeah,
these are things that happen on a regular basis in this country.
And people have to live the rest of their lives
exactly.
with them.
It's
not a one-and-done thing.
And we see a news story. We often hear from the victims and the victims' families in the aftermath, direct aftermath.
Yeah.
And most of us who have not experienced this can then disconnect
and
keep going until the next one. People who go through a trauma like this, as you said, have to live with it forever.
For every day. For the rest of their lives. And so I think,
let's
you know,
put it human faces
yeah,
on this.
Because there are hundreds of people who were affected, even if they didn't, you know, get injured themselves or know someone who was killed. But like, just going through it. So as I said in my recap, it's horrifying to me that this is now, like, so commonplace that it's just becoming part of every aspect of our culture, including a reality show that we watch to escape, you know, bad headlines. But
yeah, it didn't feel like much of an escape last
night.
And like part of me feels a little bit squicked out by it being in this show that's clearly just for entertainment and the fact that it's being turned into something for us to consume. On the other hand, I think that in this time when school shootings really aren't that uncommon, it's probably good for us to find it hard to escape from that and to be confronted with it because it is such a big problem. And, you know, both Blake had this horrible trauma. We saw Jason with his brother and his brother-in-law who were married. Again and again in this episode, we see that men on this show are affected by the kinds of social issues that, you know, that we saw Garrett have these different opinions about. But, like, just a reminder that people's opinions about these things affect real people and that, you know, these are things that can cause a lot of suffering. Not gay marriage, but, you know, discrimination. So it was a really sobering part of the show. And then the auditorium has a Betty Who concert.
And she legitimately seemed to like Betty Who. Like,
oh,
she
knew I think she's a huge fan of Betty Who. I had read that. She was singing along.
Yeah, she knew the words.
Yeah.
She knew all the words.
This was not one of those third-rate celebs that they have to tell her the name before she comes in and she feigns excitement. She was
legit
so excited.
I love that, like, The Bachelor can't get her an artist she actually listens to, but Blake is like, that's what my hometown is for. I will get you a concert you actually want to go to.
Did Betty Who just happen to be playing next in the town over or something?
I wonder.
How did this happen? Is he friends with Betty Who? I have questions.
Ooh. That would be a twist.
She and Becca seem to really connect.
Yes.
There was some really cute Instagram photos of all of them.
And then he meets...
And she's, by the way, we skipped the fact that she said she's in love with Blake.
Yeah.
This is the second time she said it.
Yeah, like, she doesn't
like
say it. She says
those feelings are reciprocated,
which she feels like she can't say it. But so do we think overnight or at some point, or is she going to wait till the final episode? Is she going to tell him, I love you?
Maybe.
What if she tells two people, I love you?
I do feel like she's in love with two people.
I think she's, yeah, at the very least, she is in love with two people.
And
yeah.
There have been some reports. I don't know if, you know, who knows.
Life and
that
style.
She pulls an Ari.
Or that she's contemplating pulling an Ari.
But that, I think that's wishful thinking.
Same. Yeah. I mean, same. We'll see. I mean, you know, I like living for a little bit of tension and drama.
Sure.
So keep us guessing.
Keep us guessing. I'm happy about it. But she clearly loves Blake. She said it. She hasn't said that about any other of the other guys, has she?
No, but you can tell that she's extremely drawn to Garrett. So.
Right. But it's interesting. Well, maybe they're just editing out. She may have full on said, you know, I'm in love with, or I'm falling in love with Garrett, and they just haven't included it because they want to keep us guessing. But who knows?
Yeah, I do still just get such a Dean vibe from their relationship that she is really attracted to Blake. She really likes him. Maybe feels a little bit protective of him because mm-hmm. he's clearly had a lot of rough times, but is looking maybe for someone who seems more like a ready-made, like husband and father figure. And Blake seems like maybe he still needs a little more nurturing himself, even though he is like the same age as Garrett. And when she meets his family, they talk a lot about his past relationship that left him quite heartbroken.
His mom
crying
says
out,
they
apparently
cried together.
She said she
mom.
Heard his cries and his panic attacks. I think he dated that girl for like 2 months.
Yeah, that's. I worry about Blake's. I mean, granted, he's gone through a lot, and knowing now that he went through a school shooting, like if he has panic attacks or if he maybe shame spirals a little faster than other people, like fine. But I do worry between that. And the fact that, you know, when he didn't get the one-on-one date, he kind of really went into a dark place. Like, I worry that he
it seems
maybe
like he has a lot of anxiety around dating and relationships.
Yes. Yeah. And he may not be ready-made. You know, Garrett's like, here's the minivan, let's do this, you know, whereas I think Blake may need a little more time to just get through his anxiety.
I think if you've gone through trauma, sometimes falling in love can feel like a point in your life when your problems have been sort of fixed because you have this comfortable place to fall back to. You have someone who's like your protector emotionally. Mm-hmm. And then when you lose that, you have to kind of re-grieve for the initial trauma. And I do get the sense with Blake that he is really excited to have someone who can be that emotional backstop for him. And it's really hard to have that taken away again. So it's worrisome.
I'm worried about poor Blake.
I know. I'm worried about his poor little heart.
Yeah.
Oh, bless his heart. And I loved his mom.
Next, we go to see Colton, who is also from Colorado.
And it was seemed much warmer and sunnier there wherever he was. You know, like it was snowy.
Parker, Colorado.
It was snowy where...
In Bailey.
And then it was, you know.
Well, so he said something about how he was getting to show her that he really was a mountain man.
Yeah.
So I think he's in the Rockies.
Yeah.
And I guess Parker is more of a plain area, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And the activity is that he's taking her shopping and then to the children's hospital. They make little gift bags for the kids.
Some really cute kids.
It was sweet. The little girl especially was adorable.
I know. When she holds up the little
play
horns to her head and she's like, I'm like a goat. And then she's like, nah.
Just
so
super
cute.
And Colton was really good with the kids, with both his little cousins and also with the kids at the children's hospital. You can tell for whatever concerns we might have about Colton, like, he's a warm guy. He's very sweet with these children.
This genuinely matters to him.
Yeah.
Like, he definitely seemed familiar with the kids at the hospital. They seemed to know him.
Yeah, they were sweet.
They do a big wall painting with the kids. It just seems...
They take some funny photos. They open their presents. It was very sweet.
Yeah. And Colton thinks Becca has a natural motherly vibe that you can't learn. You just have it or you don't have it.
Yeah. Which, I mean, do we just move on?
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to say?
What are you going to say?
I mean, it was just another level of the kind of thing that you hear from people who are like, oh, you're going to be such a good mom one day. And it's like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Or not. Or they don't say it. And you're like, am I not going to be a good mom one day? And they meet his family, his extended family. Lots
18
of
people.
Aunts and uncles and cousins.
18.
Yeah.
They didn't all get
I was having a little panic attack watching.
Aunts, uncles, cousins.
Yeah.
Brothers. A sister.
honestly, I think every person so far that has brought Becca home, and Colton is the last, their mom or dad has said, I've never seen him so happy.
Every single one.
Becca just really brings something out in these
men. She seems to have a quality that puts them all really at ease, which is
it's nice.
It's a good quality to have.
She's a good egg.
Yeah, I like her.
I like Becca.
I'd probably be calm around her.
She seems to have, she seems to really listen and just.
And the Bachelorette format is like, I always say this, really like well suited for the way that men and women are socialized differently, which is she's like, I'm picking, so I need to ask a lot about them. She doesn't talk a lot about herself, or we don't see it.
Right.
They don't seem to bother to ask her that much about herself. So we see her really making these men feel like listened to and important, and we learn a lot about them, and she kind of just hangs out being like the cool girl who makes them feel comfortable.
And it's interesting because on The Bachelor, it's a lot about, well, what do I want? And I'm going to talk about what I want.
Right.
And, you know, it's very, it's.
They're both about what the lead wants, but like with a man, it ends up involving him like talking about what he wants
a lot. And the woman sort of telling him why she's what he wants. I don't know. It feels a little unequal, but it's subtle.
Yeah. And Colton decides that this is a great time to reveal to each of his family members that he is a virgin.
I feel like he had told his mother.
He had
that
told
before.
His mom.
No, I don't think so.
Well, she said
it's not something we talk about a lot.
It sounds like the dad doesn't know, and I don't think
he
told
that.
The way that she says it was very like, he just shared that with me.
Right.
We don't talk about that often. Not normal mother-son conversation. None of that sounded to me like she had heard it before.
I just listened to Colton on Ben and Ashley I's podcast, and he says that his mom knew.
But it sounds like maybe it wasn't spoken so explicitly in the past. Like,
sure,
she
because that's not really a thing that
normal.
You would say. Like, yeah.
And
hey,
she
mom,
seemed really
I'm a
surprised. That well, she that like the way she talked about it was like he
I think
just
she
told
was,
me that
I think she was surprised that he talked about it with
on national
on
TV
camera.
Yeah,
and
that
she
was how
more
I read
like,
it too.
I'm real weirded out by that. What was interesting to me about that is that Colton's dad doesn't know he's a virgin, but Colton's dad knows that about Tia and that whole thing because it was weird.
He seems
the way
pretty
Colton,
close to both of his parents.
Well, I'd be more likely to tell my dad about someone I went on a date with than the fact that I had never had sex before. Like,
I
of
guess,
course,
that's true.
Very reasonable.
But it was very weird. The dad was like, "Okay, Becca, how do you feel about this whole Tia situation?" And it was like, "What is going on right now?"
I wonder if the producers were like, "Look, this has been a conflict with them. Yeah. You should talk about it."
The whole thing, I just didn't understand why his family needed to talk to him about the virginity.
He really seemed to want to talk about it a lot. I mean, then later he brings it up with Chris Harrison. It was like, what is going on? Take it down a notch.
And he has a really funny conversation with his dad because his dad is sort of like, well, how is your relationship built on honesty? And he says, yes, I told her about the Tia thing right away. I handled it like a man.
Yeah,
I
like,
brought
like
it
man.
Up and I took care of it. And we were really communicative. And his dad was like, well, but like she's had her own history. And have you talked about that? Just because you've had your tough conversation doesn't mean those tough conversations are over. And
I liked that a lot.
That
was,
I thought his dad
The interesting thing to me is that then Colton is like, well, yeah, there are always going to be tough conversations. And his dad is like, welcome to marriage. And I was like, you're just yelling the same thing
you're
at
agreeing.
Each other.
You agree.
You're agreeing very argumentatively.
Yeah. Colton was like, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's, and he's
what,
like, that's
we're
right,
that's what we're both saying.
His dad keeps being like, and now's the part where I teach you. Wait.
Yeah. But it was remarkable insight and for a dad on this show. And it was also interesting to see a dad say, you know, you have to decide if she's right for you, like if she's ready for you. You know, you never really see that where
we also rarely see the fathers say anything that involves like an emotionally intelligent.
Yeah.
Sort of
anything involving emotion
other than just like, I give him a blessing.
Yep.
You're going to protect someone. Like, this felt like a real conversation between a father and
but
a son.
But it was. It sounds like they maybe aren't used to having those types of conversations for exactly the reason you were saying, where it was like, why is everyone so angry? You're agreeing. Calm down.
It just makes me think of just how men like to have conversations in general. It's like, this is a competition and I'm winning it.
It's always just like a low level of aggression behind everything.
Very testosterone-y.
Becca tells his mom that she found it really attractive that even though he got a lot of crap in the locker room, he stuck to who he was. And I was like, did we just forget the part where he made up a bunch of lies about his sexual exploits in the locker room? No, moving on. Okay.
Well, and do we want to address the fact that he said he's never taken a girl home before? And then there is literal photographic evidence
of Allie Raisman with his family. All in matching pajamas.
Yeah.
It was just a weird lie. Like, it didn't really add anything to have her be like, the only person.
Yeah.
He also says,
like, you're a virgin. You've already got that.
I've never brought a girl home in a formal setting. And I was like, I don't even know what that differentiation
means. Well, you know, when you bring
a
girl home for the holidays and you just, like, hang out for days, that's not a formal setting. So it doesn't mean anything.
It wasn't on television.
It is a weird lie. My only thought is that he was sort of told to say that by the producers, but I don't even understand why they would want him to
do
that.
It just was a lie with no end and a lie that was very clearly proven a lie. So I don't understand it at all.
He deleted the picture, but there are still a ton of pictures of him and Allie Raisman up on his Instagram. So it's not like he purged her from his Instagram. It seems like he legitimately was like, I'm going to get caught.
It's just an unnecessary layer to add. But so, you know, then it makes you wonder, like, he probably is a virgin, but, like, if he's lying about something so clearly obvious that we can see is actually not true, it makes it harder to, you know, some people are saying, I don't believe he's a virgin.
Believe he's a virgin. I don't think he's lying about that. I really
don't. It's just weird. I
just think that other lie is very odd.
Yeah. I feel like there's more going on with Colton.
I mean, the virgin thing would be a really weird lie, too.
It would be.
A very weird lie. Also, someone would have gone to Reality Steve and been like, I fucked him. Like, we just know that would happen if he was lying. He's not lying. Yeah. I really don't think he's lying.
And that kind of wraps up his date.
But he does say, I love you.
Yeah.
He drops the L-bomb, as he knows he should.
I thought his parents were, in general, very sweet and very sweet with him, very sweet with Becca. It seems like this is a good... They have a good family relationship.
Yeah, there was nothing weird there.
But we had to sort of cut short all of these dates because, of course, the real drama here happened in the aftermath with a girl powwow in L.A.
Over brunch.
Of course.
Yeah, she has to get together with her closest girlfriends. I just imagine the producers
on the
being
show.
Like, all right, Becca, LOL. Red alert, you have to get together with your girlfriends from the show and ask their advice. She's like, what? What are you talking about?
It was weird. Like, I wonder how much... Let's just imagine, I'm sure this will come out if it hasn't already. Do we assume that Tia contacts producers and says, I still like Colton? And they say, great! Come on the show. And so then they tell Becca, hey, we're going to film one more final, you know, powwow with you ladies. And Becca truly doesn't know what's coming. That's what we believe.
That's what I think. I mean, I think most of the other women, besides maybe Caroline,
knew.
But I don't think the rest of them knew. You could see CN and Becca being like, what's going on?
And Caroline was like.
Caroline's like, oh, I feel awkward.
Sorry, I realize this is the podcast and my facial expression did not.
It was a good facial expression.
It was very like, oh, God, it's about to go down, you guys.
Oh, God. She said she was getting texts that are like the same wording that Tia was using at the same time with Becca. And makes me sick to my stomach.
How didn't Tia and Colton go on one date or spend one weekend together?
Okay, so again, I listened to this in-depth interview with Colton. You should check it out on Ben Nashley Eyes podcast with someone Lightning.
I will never do that.
Right. But so I'm going to give you the recap if you don't want to do that, which is also understandable. He basically gave what seemed to me very honest because it didn't always, I don't know. I didn't have a reason to doubt his timeline. Basically, he said he was in the initial casting for the show. And they said, we're releasing the girls that are going to be on Ari's season. Like, send us just off looks, off the headshots alone, like, the three you would be most interested in. And he was like, I acknowledge this is, like, just shallow, but off the headshots, I told them Lauren, Becca, and Tia. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and then I just followed them all on Instagram. And he said Tia followed him back. It was in December. The show had not aired yet. And then he Instagram storied watching Stranger Things, and she just like commented on that, and they just started. He was like essentially a casual text conversation back and forth for about a month, and then towards the end of January they spent one weekend together in LA at an Airbnb, he's like, we went to a steak dinner. We went like hiking at Runyon Canyon with rescue dogs. He's like, I planned this weekend for us. He's like, but at the end of the weekend, there was mutual interest, but not enough that we were like, were each other's person. He said they had an honest conversation where he was like, look, I think I would like to, regardless of what happens, like if I'm offered to be on the show, if I'm cast, I would like to go. And she says, look, if I'm offered to be the Bachelorette, no matter what, I'm going to do that. And he said, you know, that they had sort of agreed, like, we're not going to hold each other back. There's interest here, but not enough to be like, we're each other's people because they don't live in the same place. Like, and he's like, look, I hadn't had that much time where I was dating around and kind of exploring myself, which
fine.
It actually seemed to make quite a lot of sense. And also remember around, he said it was around January, like 25th that they hung out. That's 3 weeks into the show airing. So he knew she didn't win, but like, it's not even like everything had been shown at all. We're still in the beginning stages of the show. And then he said they continued to chat, but in what he interpreted as like a friendly way. And she was like, good luck. Like, I'm jealous that you're going to be hanging out with these producers. Like, have fun, have a good experience. He's like, even up to like a few days before filming, like she knew he was going on. They were in touch in a casual way, did not hang out again. And then he said that in that third episode where Tia's there, he's like, they cut it together, so we didn't see much. But he's like, all three of us talked during that
with
date.
Becca. So Becca, Tia, and Colton.
Yeah, I don't know if he was implying that they had a conversation, the three of them. But it, at the very least, like, we didn't see him talk to Tia at all in the way they cut that date. But he's like, we sat down and talked. And in my mind, that was genuinely, like, we had reached a point where we were moving forward and had reached, like, He's like, literally by the time I was sent home, like, I was not thinking about her. And apparently he's like, I feel like we were on completely different pages and I had confusion. So sorry, that was my long-winded recap.
So actually what happens on the show is that they all sit down and Tia's like, so do you think you're really going to get engaged? And seems like really unhappy about it. Like, you really think you're going to do
Becca's
this?
Becca's like, yep, definitely.
Yeah. And she tells about the hometowns. It seems like they've already decided to reorder them in that way so that they can end with the Colton drama.
Right.
And so she ends by saying, and then I went to Colton's hometown and it was so amazing. I really see a future with him.
Tia's face just like drops.
And then Tia literally raises her hand like she's in class. And it's like, can you and I talk outside?
Yeah, she seems insanely nervous
and
uncomfortable. And so they go outside and Tia says, this has been weighing on me. It's very difficult. I was excited to hear about your time with these three other guys. But when I think about you with Colton, I do still have feelings for him. And it makes me sick to my stomach that he's still on the show. And that you met his family. That makes me sick. And Becca says, well, fuck, I wish I would have known that.
Especially because they did have a conversation about this. And I do think that if Tia had expressed this early on, Colton would not have been there.
Yeah.
It's just a really crappy situation.
A lot of people were, you know, tweeting, you know, oh, Tia's such a bad friend. She's so terrible. This is awful. And it's...
I think it's a little more complicated
than
that.
I agree. You know, granted, this is not a good look, sure.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she could have gotten in touch with Becca off camera. I just feel like she could have done this off camera and they could have had this conversation. But, you know, Tia likes to be on camera. And...
Also,
you know,
the producers are probably like, yes.
Yeah, no, of course. There was absolute, you know, encouragement. But I don't think you can fault. I don't think the fault is, you know, she's betraying girl code or she's, you know, a bad friend. I think it's more that her need for attention, overruled her better judgment in this situation.
I think there is probably a part of her. I don't think she's very good at this game. she thought she was going to be the Bachelorette, and she, like, completely destroyed her own image with the audience shortly before leaving the show, completely undermined her own Bachelorette campaign. And now she, I think, wanted to get people excited about a possible romance for her in Paradise, and instead made everyone hate her.
Yeah.
So she really miscalculated. And I don't think that it was necessarily I don't think she's a monster. I think, and this is one thing that I hate about the show sometimes, like the whole point of it is to like speculate about people's motives. And then I just hit a wall every season where I'm like,
I don't know
how
them.
Am I supposed to know what they're thinking? Why do I have to decide what they're thinking? I don't know. I don't know what she was thinking.
But you know what? The easiest explanation is usually the right one. And I think she just wanted more screen time. And
She liked Colton.
And she likes Colton.
Yeah.
You know, had there been no cameras, would this have gone down? I don't think so. But I agree. I think she could have
played out entirely differently without cameras, where maybe she still would have been like, please don't date him, but have done it at a different time.
At a much earlier time, you know, but whatever.
Like, I think there was probably a part of her that was like, I shouldn't be the interfering one and he probably won't win. And then I'll get to like date him again in paradise.
Right, that was the calculation made at the beginning. And then I see this as an...
She panicked.
Yes,
she panicked,
I see it as an anxiety decision. Something she just... That was weighing on her. They're in this experience without cell phones and she's just spinning.
Yeah.
Probably texting Caroline about it, obsessing. And then she's offered this sort of way to express it and she grabs onto it. And I don't think it was the best... tactical move. I think it's sort of shitty for all three of them.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's not, it's, I just don't think we need to jump, you know, the sort of tendency to jump on her as a bad female friend or breaking girl code. It's just like, you've got to actually take logic and normal human interaction out of contention when you're discussing these things, because this is not a normal situation. There is no logic involved. These people all or in some way, you know, in the midst of the grips of Stockholm syndrome. Like, there's no, you can't apply normal human logic to this. You have to kind of take a step back. And, you know, so I think it'll be interesting to see how she is portrayed and how she behaves on Paradise.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I got really frustrated when Ashley sort of implied that or accused Kayla of breaking the girl code by going after... Jared, participating in the show means you have to waive all of that.
Yeah.
It's an incestuous show. That's the point.
That's the point.
Right. Either you're enemies with all the other girls in the house
or you deal with it.
And that's the bargain that you make. And instead, like, sometimes women or men feel like they get to, like, mark someone and, like, they don't have to contend with that. That's not how it works. Sorry.
Yeah. Also, Colton's, you know, preferences and desires need to factor into this. Ultimately.
In more ways than one.
Yes. But he was ready, clearly, to move forward with Becca. So that doesn't speak super positively for his potential future with Tia.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows? It's entirely possible that if they were texting up until the very end and he thought it was friendly, she might have felt it was flirty. You know, like,
it's
so easy to misinterpret. So I don't, you know, think she's... you know, being malicious there. I think she's just, as you put it, spinning.
Yeah. I think also if I'm Tia, I'm not, it's not even necessarily about getting Colton back, because you have to think, this guy is now like really serious with my friend. Clearly he's not thinking about getting back with me
right
now.
Maybe it's just simply, this is one of my best friends and I don't want that to be a factor in our relationship. Which
I get that's legitimate too. I mean,
overall, just a really
unfortunate,
messy way for
really
this to
messy,
play out.
Really kind of cringy, and I just feel.
And then
feel
Becca
for them.
Says her conversation with Tia doesn't change anything because she can see a future with. Well, but it's like, again, it's like the election. It's like, oh, Russian interference definitely didn't affect this. Can we really say for sure that one factor did or didn't?
No, you're right.
I think probably it wasn't the deciding factor.
But it was a factor.
I think it was a factor.
I think it was a factor, not the deciding factor.
Because with Jason, she doesn't have to think about that kind of thing. She can just hang out with him.
He's a great kisser.
Exactly.
Great kisser. I think the kissing was definitely a factor.
Yeah. And as you put earlier, like, if she's going to have to go through these three dates, you know, clearly if it were totally up to her, she would maybe just choose two guys now. But if she has to go through three dates, she'd rather have the third one be more comfortable and fun than awkward and weird. So, sure.
And, like, Jason does have this whole, I'm completely, totally, insanely in love with you. But he doesn't seem, like, fragile.
Yeah.
And
they just have fun. They seem to have a nice time together.
His family even seemed chill about it. Colton's dad was like, if you're not sure,
please
send him home now. So I think that was probably a factor. I want to say the guys all had some wild outfits on for the rose ceremony.
Yeah.
Blake was wearing all black with a bright red bow tie.
He really looked like he just came off shift at Shakey's Pizza.
It
he
was
really
too much.
It
look
was
for me.
Too much. And yet, this is how I know I'm just so taken with Blake that I was still like, oh, yeah.
he's adorable,
he's
but
just,
it,
he's
it,
just
it
very
was
cute.
Very, yeah. Like 1920s
it was a severe,
gangster.
I wish it was the bow tie was not.
Red.
It was so red.
I support a bow tie, though.
I definitely
I think
do.
That a red bow tie could look really nice with like a blue suit.
Yes.
Yeah, just it was a lot of it a was lot. A lot of look.
Yeah, violent contrast.
Yes.
It looked like he was dressed up for Halloween, and I just didn't know
who
the character
are you trying
was.
To be. Yeah.
So they all go. Chris is greeting them all back to the mansion, and they all are like, "Great, I feel amazing." And then Colton is like, "Hey, Chris, can I call you Dad?"
Yeah.
listen. I need some advice about a girl because I'm still a virgin and I just don't know.
I just could feel like I could see in Chris Harrison's eyes like he just wanted to back right out of the room.
He wanted to do like the Homer Simpson.
Yeah,
into the
exactly.
Shrub.
The producers did not prep Chris for this, although they clearly prepped Colton.
Yeah. And it was weird. He didn't even really have a question. He was just sort of like, so the fantasy suite is coming up and I'm a virgin.
Yeah.
And then it sort of hung in the air.
It's like, what is the question? Am I obligated
yeah.
to have sex?
He says,
like, no.
He says, what's he has? He's like, I want to know what's expected. And Chris is like, are you saying you're nervous about being intimate with Becca? And he's like, And Chris is like, well, it's up to you guys. And honestly, that's kind of the whole point of it,
yeah.
which I thought was kind of harsh.
What else is he supposed to say? But I do like that he said, you know, he just sort of said it's. The only expectation really that matters is what you and Becca decide. And,
yes.
you know, and that's nice.
Yes.
It's certainly, you know, if you were being totally honest, he would say, but we really hope that she deflowers you because that's great TV.
yeah.
yes.
You know, but he's not going to say that. And so I just applaud him for keeping a straight face through that whole
well,
thing.
His whole
that
demeanor
was,
to me was just
he
the
was
demeanor
really,
that one of us would have.
Yeah,
if Colton
like,
right. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what do
was,
you want me to say?
He was really trying to keep his composure.
He was trying to have his therapist Chris
yeah.
hat on. He
but
was like, damn it, is this what happens when I ask for more screen time?
Yeah, he hasn't been asked to work that hard for years.
yeah. But it was a wonderful moment.
She also looks stunning.
I love her dresses.
High slit black dress. It was
she's
very
had
dramatic.
Some very beautiful dresses for the rose ceremony. The
always
other, a couple
sparkly
weeks ago
too.
With the sparkly flowers. Beautiful.
This she one was she very has
a,
vampy.
She has a nice earring game too.
Yeah.
Yeah. The square,
sort of square
hoops.
Hoop.
Yeah.
It had like a neck cuff,
mm-hmm.
which made me think of that horror story about the girl with the ribbon around her neck.
Yeah, don't take it off.
That's what you find out in the fantasy suite.
Girl.
Then your head falls off.
And she gives the roses to Blake, Jason, and Garrett last.
Bye-bye, Colton.
And she walks Colton out and...
I mean, they don't bring up Tia. Do you think
yeah.
she... If she had brought up Tia... It would be on the show, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No, she keeps saying
point,
it wasn't
I assume
about Tia.
He doesn't know that
yeah.
Tia came.
So
I
want
to know when, at what point he was told that this had happened.
Probably the second he steps onto the Paradise Beach.
Yeah.
Sure.
That would be a great... Hey, Colton, great to see you again. It's me, Chris Harrison. And by the way, did you know that Tia, the girl that you might date here, completely fucked you over?
Yeah. And she's waiting for you in the Rose Palapa. Which is an actual term they've used on that show. I didn't
make
it up.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. There are all kinds of palapas on that
show.
So
many palapas.
And Colton says that he had just wanted the opportunity to fall in love and be happy, which he had. Didn't work out, but not every opportunity does. And then he says that with her, he finally had felt not broken again.
Okay.
When was he broken the first time?
Wait, yeah. Does he have a heartbreak?
Was,
I can't
I
remember.
Think so.
There was a lot of confusion. I don't know.
Yeah.
I
was
we
not
missed
aware
something.
That he felt broken.
Neither was I, but apparently he did, and now he's broken again.
On the other hand, I think you have to be broken in some way to go on this show.
I mean, that's true. Which
aren't
is ironic
we all broken
because
in some way?
Going on the show is what makes him feel whole,
yeah.
and yet it is the greatest proof of his brokenness.
And now he's going to go on the sad, sleazy spinoff of this show.
Our favorite show.
So good.
I love
so many crabs.
Did you guys, speaking
crabs.
Of sleazy, do you know Temptation Island is coming
yes.
back?
Mm-hmm.
Too
oh,
late
wow.
for me to sign me and my husband up.
The other thing is,
season.
If you have Hulu, you should
Love
check.
Island?
Yes. Love Island.
Unreal.
Yeah. So
amazing show.
Just I've been told more than once, and it's sort of like, I guess, even a sleazier Bachelor in Paradise.
Way sleazier.
Times Big Brother.
Except and British.
Yeah, and British, which is even better. Yeah. So anyway, side note.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
Very, very my speed. And I think we have to close. They're going to Chiang Mai, Thailand, and for Fantasy Suites. And I think we have to close by noting that Blake's relative revealed to Becca that Blake can't cook.
Or clean.
Or clean. And Becca's like, well, can he fix cars? And his relative is like, no.
No, not really.
But he's just the greatest guy. Just the greatest, most useless guy.
That was perfect.
I especially love that because cleaning is not such a skill that you have
you could just literally learn to clean.
You can get better at it, for sure. Some people are better than others. But if you are, like, able... And
able-bodied.
We know that we can see that he is. You just, like, take some cleaning stuff and you spray it on things and you wipe it with a towel.
Or you, like, put items away.
Put items away.
Anyone can sweep.
Yeah.
For example.
Anyone can do
no
all
No one
of...
ever taught me to clean, but I do, in fact, clean my apartment all the time.
So, yeah.
That's
it was more of a cute, you know, I don't see Blake as somebody who's going to be, like, a total slob. I think anybody who has a bright red bow tie probably is, I don't know, I just
That's
see,
what
he's,
you would think.
He seems to me like he at least keeps it vaguely neat.
He's got to have some use around the house.
Yeah,
I think so.
He can't just look pretty.
I also just want to say that the Paradise promo looked awesome and we got a lot of Jordan and Crystal, so I'm pumped.
Yes, and we got a glimpse of Venmo John and
thank goodness.
Joe the Grocer and, of course, my favorite, the future Bachelor, Wills.
There's a lot of promise. A lot of promise on Paradise.
And we can't wait. But next week, first, we have Fantasy Suites. I'm pretty pumped for that. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was a delight.
Always happy to be here.
So there was a lot of heavy stuff this episode, and honestly, feminism fails weren't front of mind, but there were a couple moments that we wanted to highlight. First of all, when Jason takes Becca skating and decides that that shows that she will just be a great hockey mom. Why not a great ice skater in her own right? I'm giving that a 2, because come on, Jason.
And then, of course, Garrett's dad makes fun of him for saying, "I love you," to his granny. That just speaks to some kind of gross gender roles, some potential toxic masculinity there. Didn't love it. Gonna give that one a 4. Men should be encouraged to share their emotions.
Yes, that's what we're all about on this show.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Kristen Baldwin, and of course, our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Do you love Here to Make Friends? Find us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to subscribe and give us a rating. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, so please like us there. You can find us both individually on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose, or you can always send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffpost.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week for Fantasy Suites.